Today is Friday, August 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Coming up, Afghan Taliban storm Ghazni City Thursday night. The heavy clashes continued until late Friday morning. We also get an update on the wildfires burning in California.
Firefighters are starting to move towards certain areas because they feel they're having some difficulties over there.
A new album drops to help those affected by last year's devastating hurricanes. We'll learn more about that. It's all ahead on today's International Edition. Afghan Taliban storm Ghazni City, roughly 150 kilometers southwest of Kabul Thursday night. VOA's Jeff Custer has that story.
Heavy clashes continued into late Friday morning between the insurgent group and government security forces. At one point, the two sides were fighting in the center of the city near important government installations, including the offices of the governor and the National Directorate for Security, Afghanistan's intelligence agency. The provincial police chief said the government sent in Afghan special forces, which helped push the Taliban back to the outskirts of the city. However, he said the Taliban were taking shelter in civilian areas, making the job of the security forces difficult. Residents said fighting continued in parts of the city, particularly in the 2nd District. In a statement posted on its Twitter account, the U.S. military said, U.S. forces responded with close air support this morning in Ghazni. Afghan forces held their ground and maintained control of all government centers. Another failed attempt by the Taliban to seize terrain while creating strategically inconsequential headlines. The Afghan military tweeted they have inflicted heavy casualties on the Taliban in Ghazni, and the district center is in their control. The Kabul-Kandahar highway that passes through Ghazni City was closed. The Taliban claimed they had closed the highway near Maidan Wardak in Ghazni and set up checkpoints in several other places. A defense ministry spokesman told the Associated Press that the army was helping the local police and that the security forces were in control of the city. The AP also reported that 9 security forces personnel wounded in the attacks were being treated at a local hospital. In a statement sent to media, the Taliban said they launched around a dozen broad-ranged operations in the center of Ghazni province Thursday night and claimed to have captured a large amount of weapons and ammunition. They also claimed to have killed a high number of security forces personnel, but there's been no independent confirmation of those claims. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
Russia's prime minister has sternly warned the Trump administration against ramping up sanctions, saying that Moscow will strike back. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Dmitry Medvedev says if the U.S. introduces sanctions against Russia, as some reports are indicating, Moscow will see this as a declaration of an economic war and will respond accordingly. Medvedev says Russia will retaliate with economic and political means, and if necessary, other means, adding American friends should understand that. The sanctions follow Washington's belief that Moscow had used a deadly nerve agent to poison ex-Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia. Russia has strongly denied involvement in the poisoning. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
China's top newspaper rebutted growing criticism that Beijing should have taken a lower profile to head off its trade war with the United States. Reuters' Ed Giles has that story.
An elephant can't hide. It's a colorful metaphor from Chinese state media on Friday in response to calls for Beijing to step back in its trade war with Washington. The People's Daily said in an editorial that China, the elephant, can't hide behind a sapling. In short, it can't hide its size and strength. The commentary was in response to reports on Thursday that the growing trade conflict is causing rifts within China's ruling Communist Party. Critics had said that an overtly nationalistic position taken by Beijing had pushed the Trump administration to harden its own position in the dispute. But the People's Daily snapped back, saying that China had absolutely not brought the trade dispute on itself. It said widespread condemnation of the White House for starting the trade war was correct, and that history shows the US has always gone after countries that threaten its dominance, drawing parallels between China and other world powers like Britain and the Soviet Union. However, in a separate column in the People's Daily on Friday, a senior government official was more cautious, writing that the trade war has become the biggest threat to the stability of China's economy.
That was Reuters reporter Ed Giles. Among other top stories, the United Nations has called for an independent investigation into the Saudi-led coalition strike on Yemen's Houthi rebels, who say it killed at least 50 people and wounded 77, many of them children. U.S. President Donald Trump has doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum to Turkey. Aluminum tariffs will now be 20% and steel 50%. The president tweeted, "Our relations with Turkey are not good at this time." Zimbabwean opposition leader Tendai Biti is free on bail after being charged with inciting public violence and unlawfully announcing the results of last week's disputed election. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are at voanews.com and on the VOA mobile app. This is International Edition.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA is making final preparations for the launch of its Parker Solar Probe, which will become the first spacecraft to touch the sun. It's expected to get within a little more than 6 million kilometers from the sun's surface. Launch is currently set for 0730 UTC Saturday, August 11th, from the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. The unmanned probe will be sent into space aboard one of the world's most powerful rockets. NASA says that the probe is expected to reach speeds as high as 692,000 kilometers per hour to reach its destination, the sun's outer atmosphere, or corona. At this speed, the space agency says the Parker Solar Probe will become the fastest spacecraft in history. Mission officials say the spacecraft will provide scientists with fresh data on the sun's activity and will help space weather forecasters make more accurate predictions on events that impact life on Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's International Edition continues. Aircraft turn hillsides red with retardant as homeowners wet their houses with garden hoses in a battle to contain an arson wildfire, which prompted evacuation orders for more than 20,000 people south of Los Angeles. California Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency Thursday night for Orange and Riverside counties as a four-day-old fire carved its way along ridges and hillsides of the Cleveland National Forest. To get more on what's taking place in California, I'm joined on the phone by VOA's Arturo Martinez. Arturo, firefighters are hoping to make some progress on the fire near Lake Elsinore. What have they been able to do?
Well, this fire has grown up since it started earlier this week, and it's been difficult to contain it because of high temperatures and strong winds. Until now, it's contained only around, until yesterday, 5%. So firefighters, even around Mendocino, where I'm based right now covering the other fires, are starting to move towards that area, they told me this morning, because they feel they're having some difficulties over there as well, and they need their help.
So you mentioned the Mendocino Complex fire. It's the largest in the state's history. Have crews been able to get a handle on that blaze yet?
That's correct. It's been declared the biggest fire in California's history. It started around the 27th of July, and till now it's been contained at around 50%. So I've been also talking to some locals that are starting to coming back to their what's left of their home places, and they said the firefighters did a great job. As I drive through the field here, you see everything burned, but they pretty much did a good job in saving precisely those home places, although not all of them. I could also speak to some people that had lost completely everything.
Before I let you go, what can you share with us about the car fire, which, of course, has been the summer's deadliest?
Yes, up to 7 people have been killed by this fire, 2 firefighters and 2 children, actually. So it's been the deadliest and the most catastrophic, because it's been closer to civilization, to cities, mm-hmm. and small localities where it was more dangerous to being surrounded by fire. Because pretty much this one in Mendocino, for example, is pretty much a vineyards, and it's very rural. But that one at Car Fire is the most close to civilization, as we say.
Arturo Martinez is a reporter with VOA's Spanish division. He's near the Mendocino Complex fire. Please stay safe, but thank you for updating us today.
I will. Thank you.
Vice President Michael Pence says the U.S. military has always been at the forefront of handling new challenges.
Now the time has come to write the next great chapter in the history of our armed forces, to prepare for the next battlefield, where America's best and bravest will be called to deter and defeat a new generation of threats to our people, to our nation.
Pence was outlining the administration's plans to create a sixth branch of the armed forces called the Space Force. To get a better understanding of what Vice President Pence's remarks were all about, I'm joined on the phone by VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's been a busy day.
So what exactly did we learn from the Vice President's address at the Pentagon?
Well, the main takeaway from this is that the President wants to establish a sixth military service branch. He wants a Space Force. Now, what the Pentagon has actually rolled out today does not create a Space Force. However, it does set up the steps needed to eventually get to a Space Force. The Pentagon is actually setting up a Space Operations Command. Now, that's kind of like our Special Operations Command. The Special Operations Commands take special forces, Navy SEALs, Army Green Berets, etc., and puts them together to help carry out secret missions from hostage rescues to counter-terror efforts. And so the Space Operations Force is going to do kind of the same thing. Space Operations Force will take different space experts from the military branches and put them together to focus solely on space in the hopes that these people will eventually turn into a Space Force.
So if I understand this correctly, you take folks, the experts from, say, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, perhaps even the Coast Guard, the five existing branches, combine them in this new unit to hopefully evolve to the sixth branch.
Exactly. That is the goal. And so I have to caution, there is not a Space Force yet. Vice President Pence said he wanted Congress to hopefully establish the Space Force by 2020. But the hiccup with the President and with the Pentagon is they can only go so far. So they can establish everything needed for a Space Force, but Congress is going to be the one that actually establishes the force. Looking at the steps they're taking, it looks like a real possibility in the future.
Now, was anything discussed about what this new branch would actually be doing?
So this branch will do pretty much the same thing that these separate pockets have been doing for years. As of, I believe, 2002, the space components of the different military branches have been under STRATCOM, U.S. Strategic Command. That command focuses on cyber, it focuses on space, and it also focuses on the nuclear deterrent, our nuclear missiles that we have in our arsenal. And so what proponents of this says is that the Space Force will take that extra burden away from U.S. Strategic Command. However, people who have been against a separate Space Force say that it is just a duplication of efforts that are already underway. But what the Space Force will actually do is it will continue the military's mission to protect unmanned satellites, and those will be providing things like communications, missile warnings, GPS. There's not going to be a focus on human spaceflight, though. NASA will still continue to handle all of the human spaceflight.
Carla Babb is VOA's Pentagon correspondent. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Steve.
And this is International Edition.
Come celebrate the 60th birthday of legendary queen of pop, Madonna, on Thursday, August 16th, with a very special edition of Border Crossings. Join Larry London as he takes you back through time with a full hour of Madonna's greatest hits. With a career spanning over 35 years, Madonna has given us plenty of songs to choose from. Don't miss Border Crossings on Thursday, August 16th at 1500 Universal, as we pay tribute to one of the greatest pop stars of all time.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. This week, African elections, fallout from a narrow and disputed victory for ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, and we preview what's at stake for the runoff election in Mali with J. Peter Pham, director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, and John Tomaszewski, Africa director at the International Republican Institute. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
From the Voice of America, this is International Edition.
Met a man wearing a t-shirt, said Virginia is for lovers. Had a Bible in his left hand and a bottle in the other. He said all your...
Every week an artist releases a new album. However, Kenny Chesney's new one, Songs for the Saints, is no ordinary affair. Now, to get the down low on this new album and song, I got Nikki Strong here from VOA One The Hits. Nikki, welcome.
Hi.
It's great to have you here today.
Thanks for being and having me here. I like it.
All right, Nikki, so what makes country artist Kenny Chesney's new song so special?
Well, this album, Songs for the Saints, is this digital download album. Project, mm-hmm. CD.
Project.
Okay.
Musical compilation.
There you go. Musical compilation. All the proceeds go for hurricane relief.
Oh.
So this is really special. Kenny Chesney has a home in the Virgin Islands. So he lives there, and he has lived there for years, like, to escape. When he wants to escape, he goes. So he's very connected to the community there. And when Hurricane Irma and Maria hit, he had like 17 people in his home to ride out the storm. And I think he had several dogs. And these people, they were friends, but they were like family. He couldn't get in touch with them. He didn't know what was going on. He finally had to go via helicopter. And what he saw, the devastation that he saw, was heartbreaking.
Oh, and we have more news this week coming out from Puerto Rico about the aftermath of Hurricane Maria.
Exactly. And so he said he had to do something. He talks about the Virgin Islands as a place, a very spiritual place for him, that has informed who he is as a person in his music. And he was like, I have to do something. So it wound up being an album. Like, he was working on music, but then it just wound up coming together. What it was is he says he was working on Song for the Saints, meaning that one song. Mm-hmm. And music is like therapy. And so he had to process what he was experiencing. And he was very instrumental in helping, you know, to get all kinds of relief effort to the island. And in the process of working on new music, he just happened to be working on new music, this album came together. He pulled some people, Ziggy Marley's on it, but really said, I'm going to galvanize my fan base and I want to give something back to the island that has given me so much. So even the title song for the Saints, it's Saint Lucia, you know, it's Saint Croix,
Island,
it's Saint John. His place is in Saint John. So that's what Song for the Saints is. And it's a good album. It's very introspective, it's spiritual, and it's great. It's a solid Kenny Chesney album.
Started to rain, get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try.
And he's doing this through his foundation, Love for Love?
Yes. So now this is interesting. He created his Love for Love City Foundation in 2017. In response to the relief efforts. He wanted to, you know, address hurricane relief and make a difference. And so now he is doing it through, now this album, all the proceeds, anything that's connected to the Songs for the Saints will go through this foundation and go to relief effort. People can go to KennyChesney.com, actually, to find out more about it. And his name is spelled KennyChesney.com.
That's fantastic. And as you mentioned, people, you know, from the community have really rallied behind this album.
Yep.
What kinds of songs are on this? Because he's a country and Western
mm-hmm.
artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's some of it has, he's always had some songs that have an island feel to him, mm-hmm. even in his previous work. So these songs, they're country. And they pull upon sounds from the islands, but I wouldn't say this is an island record. I think this is an introspective, thoughtful Kenny Chesney album. People who like Kenny Chesney will enjoy this album. So it's not like he's, you know, veering off and exploring all these different genres of music while he's creating this album. He was in the studio and he created the music that really came to him.
People who are not necessarily familiar with Chesney, is this a representative album of his previous works? Or is this, as you said, more introspective, something more of who he is rather than who he is as an artist?
Right. It is part of who he is right now in processing what's going on. His first single was Get Along. That song is number one right now. And when I first heard it, I was like, this is a hit. This is Kenny Chesney, and this is a hit.
And see, I think a lot of times when an artist does something truly from their heart, right, especially when the intention is something like this,
right,
those kinds of things really happen.
Yes, yes. And so I think he did a great job of being introspective and then also, you know, creating the music that is reflective of the space that he's in, but also being appealing to his fan base.
You can purchase Songs for the Saints or find out more by visiting Kenny Chesney's Love for Love Foundation on his website, kennychesney.com. Mickey Strong from VOA One The Hits, thank you so much for stopping by. You can catch up with her on Facebook and Twitter. You've been awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
And finally, on this day back in 1846, the Smithsonian Institution was created. It's the world's largest museum, education, and research complex. The Smithsonian is made up of 19 museums and, of course, the National Zoo. Its mission is to shape the future by preserving our heritage, discovering new knowledge, and sharing its resources with the world. Englishman James Smithson provided the funds for, quote, for the increase and diffusion of knowledge, end quote. And you know what? That is going to be today's International Edition. Jackson Munganyi directed the program, and Patrick Deya engineered the broadcast. But before I go, I would like to thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. Now, to keep up with the latest pictures, videos, stories, and more, be sure to follow The Voice of America on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Have a fantastic Friday, and you know what? Go out and have a wonderful weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As promised, President Donald Trump has reimposed a series of U.S. nuclear-related sanctions on Iran that had been lifted under the nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. After the U.S. ceased its participation in the deal in May and a wind-down period of 90 days ended, sanctions went into effect August 7th, targeting, among other things, Iran's purchase or acquisition of U.S. banknotes, its automotive industry, and transactions related to Iran's currency, the rial. All remaining U.S. nuclear-related sanctions, including those targeting Iran's energy sector and transactions by foreign financial institutions with the Central Bank of Iran, will be reimposed on November 5, 2018. In a written statement, President Trump said the United States is fully committed to enforcing all of our sanctions, and we will work closely with nations conducting business with Iran to ensure complete compliance. Individuals or entities that fail to wind down activities with Iran risk severe consequences. President Trump welcomed the decisions by many international firms to leave the Iranian market and noted that several countries have indicated they will end the imports of Iranian oil. "We urge all nations," he said, "to take such steps to make clear that the Iranian regime faces a choice: either change its threatening, destabilizing behavior and reintegrate with the global economy, or continue down a path of economic isolation." U.S. officials have noted that the revenue Iran received because of sanctions relief under the nuclear deal was used to spread terrorism and instability from Syria to Yemen to Gaza and beyond, instead of being used to improve the lives of the Iranian people. In his statement, President Trump emphasized that while the United States continues to apply maximum economic pressure on the Iranian regime so that it changes its destructive policies, he remains open to reaching a more comprehensive deal that addresses the full range of the regime's malign activities, including its ballistic missile program and its support for terrorism. In addition, President Trump stressed continued support for the Iranian people, who are the rightful heirs to Iran's rich heritage and the real victims of the regime's policies. "We look forward to the day," he said, "when the people of Iran and all people across the region can prosper together in safety and peace."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.